Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nixon Lloyd Cogule Show. My name is Nixon Lloyd Cogules, the namesake for this here podcast. This is one of my seldom and very rare, if at all, unscripted episodes because I really don't have that much time in order to write a script for an episode like this. So, here you go. Now, I want to discuss today a well-known industry in content creation that has been taking the internet by storm in the 2020s, but had humble beginnings in 2014. This would, of course, come from Japan. I'm talking about the phenomenon of virtual content creation. So virtual YouTubing, virtual streaming, these are called V-streaming or VTubing, primarily VTubing. This is a, well, to be fair, this is quite a process to get into, but it is much, much easier nowadays than it was, say, over 10 years ago. Now, for today, I'm going to get into the open source side of things and discuss some software that a lot of people might not know about in the VTubing industry. Now, I will assume that if you are a VTuber that wants to escape the proprietary software matrix that you basically put yourself in, welcome to the Libre side. Here, I will be giving you some options as to what you can do in order that you be able to do your VTubing while also using free Libre open source software. And the first piece of software that I'm going to be recommending is going to be for your art program. Yes, the artists need some sort of program in order that they be able to do their art and their character illustration. For this, your best option would be something like GIMP if you want a Photoshop alternative, or if you need one for Clip Studio Paint, your best option is going to be Krita. It's not going to be any of these other ones that are out there, unless, of course, I find that they may be better in some cases than Krita. Inkscape is something that comes to mind, but that's your Adobe Illustrator alternative. So that would probably not be the best case scenario. If you use Clip Studio Paint, you might go ahead and switch over to Krita. If you use Photoshop, switch over to GIMP. Otherwise, forget about it. Now, next, you need the rigging for your software, or in this case, your model. For a VTuber model, usually it will be an anime character of some sort, on average. There are VTubers that don't have a distinctive anime style, and you could literally make a VTuber out of anything. You can make a VTuber model out of almost anything you can imagine. Now, for this, the industry standard for VTuber rigging is Live2D Cubism. However, Live2D has an absolutely predatory subscription model, and I would not recommend you support something this predatory, monetarily speaking. Instead, save yourself some money and use something called Enochi2D, or what I call i2D. This is the open source alternative that is apparently the best of all the alternatives out there, if there are any. It is essentially a poor man's L2D or Live2D, and it is made by a VTuber themselves, though as far as I'm aware, they've been having some trouble as of late, and I'm going to want to take a look at exactly what's been going on since then. But, that said, your best option if you want to rig a model will be Enochi2D. On the 3D side of things, however, this is where things get a little confusing. Your best open source option is probably going to be Blender. But with Blender, you might also use a proprietary option called Vroid. I know of a VTuber, linked below, that just so happened to be using both Blender and Vroid to do her work. and you could tell she's quite talented at what she does. Now, when it comes to the 3D side of things, I'll go to that first when you actually want to put your model on the screen. Your open source option for this is probably going to be VPupper, but that project has basically been dead in the water for a little bit of time. However, you can use VC Face on Linux, which does work, surprisingly so. But when it comes to VC Face, there are a couple extra steps you're going to need in order to get it working. Otherwise, your best bet is probably going to be VPupper, or something else entirely that is open source. And for backgrounds and all that type of stuff, just put them into OBS. That's probably going to be your best bet. I need to find another screen recorder that is like OBS, that is just as fully featured as OBS, but could potentially be lighter. I'm not entirely sure about that, but I'll need to look into it. Now, once we have all of this set up, you need some other pieces of software to use. I've already talked about this in a previous episode, but if you really want to use a GNU Linux operating system, you're going to have to use a very popular option with systemd, unless you'd be willing to figure out another init system like S6 or I think Runit or even OpenRC. It doesn't matter though. Your best options are going to be, for me, a few of them. If you want an Ubuntu-based system that basically works quite a bit out of the box, Linux Mint would be your best idea. I would not grab, however, the Ubuntu-based version, but rather the Debian edition, LMDE. You will not want to use Ubuntu, especially now since the Ubuntu guys are starting to implement Rust for the GNU toolchain. It's actually pretty disgusting if you ask me. Otherwise, you are going to want to use Nubara Project for your Fedora-based option, but if you want something where you can seriously control what you do with it, something like CacheOS, EndeavorOS, Garud Linux, Arch Linux, Artix, any of these Arch-based systems, not Manjaro though, would be good for you. In my case, I personally use i3 with Cache. I've mentioned this on the show before, so it's not that much of a big deal. But those are the operating systems I'd recommend. And as I've mentioned earlier in the episode, OBS would be your best bet for a screen recording software, since if you were to use something like Streamlabs, it actually doesn't work on Linux. I don't know if XSplit would work, and I don't know if any other screen recorder would potentially work. Any well-known screen recorders, rather. Next up, though, you have some... What's next? This is what happens during an unscripted episode. I think we'll probably go into Office Suites next. As long as you have the Microsoft fonts installed, you will be able to use LibreOffice or OpenOffice, or even OnlyOffice. Though I would recommend LibreOffice, since it is based upon the OpenOffice suite by Apache, and then the guys behind LibreOffice are just doing a lot of things in the background to make LibreOffice as best as possible. And it is the best Office suite that I have been using for a while. I've actually used the word processor called LibreOffice Writer in order to pull some shenanigans. Now, in my case, I may actually use a piece of software called WordGrinder for a word processor. It is a terminal-based type deal, and I've been getting into terminal applications as of late, so this would make sense for me personally. Next, you will probably want to do the audio player you use. Now, I tend to use VLC a lot, so I would recommend you use that. It is cross-platform for Mac, Windows, and Linux, and has been quite extensible for some time, ever since its launch, I think. And it has been downloaded more times than even Doom or Windows. 7 billion downloads from what I've heard. It's crazy. Now, your next step, I think, will be your web browsers. Ditch Chromium-based web browsers. ditch them, because your fingerprint will be just as well known as if you use Firefox. You're pretty much toast on fingerprinting. That's the only thing you cannot escape. But there are ways to at least get around that for the most part, but you won't be able to get around it too easily. So you're pretty much toast on that. Otherwise, there are some other things you can do to at least protect yourself, like installing uBlack Origin on a Firefox-based browser, or if you're still using a Chromium-based, so in this case, I'd recommend Brave. Maybe ungoogled Chromium if it's actually safe. I'm not entirely sure about that. But despite it, you can use uBlock Lite, I think. uBlock Origin Lite. But I don't think that matters, though, since I'd rather the Manifest version 2 plugins instead of Manifest version 3. At least Firefox or Mozilla, even though Firefox is failing, at least they won't be doing the arbitrary filter limit of 300,000 filters. Even though, to be fair, most of the filters would exceed the 300K limit with uBlack Origin. And of course, Google, since they're starting to own the internet somewhat, are starting to pull some shenanigans with it. So your only Chromium-based option is going to be Brave Browser. Otherwise, use a fork of Firefox. I would not even begin to use something like Vivaldi or Opera or regular old Chrome. Don't use it. It's trash. If you want to get into gaming, you can use your usual gaming stuff. Just know that 90% of Windows games will work on Linux just fine, but in some cases, games with anti-cheats will usually not work unless the developer of the games ended up turning on a little setting where you can use Proton as your compatibility layer. Now, I've explained this on Koguel's Nation, so go check that out if you want a detailed explanation on how you can basically play games on Linux. That being said, though, I think I'm going to go ahead and end this 15-minute episode here. If you like this episode and want to see more like this in the future, well, you can always subscribe to this podcast on YouTube under the name at Nixendoig. And on top of that, you can also grab the RSS feed and place it in your Podcast 1.0 catcher. Otherwise, you can listen on Podcast 2.0 catchers like Wavelink or Fountain, Podverse, or anything else that fits the Podcast 2.0 standard. You can listen to this podcast every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 1600 hours uniform if you're using military time zone. That said, I am out of time for today's episode. Thank you, and good night.